Thank you, Good Shepherd Mass Choir. Church, would you join me in prayer, please? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you for the opportunity to let men and women know that there is a way out of this mess, dear Heavenly Father. And you have made that provision through your wonderful grace and mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we come here together today, I ask that you'll open our hearts and our ears and our minds to your way, your word, and your truth, and that with all that's within me and with all that I have, may the name of Jesus be lifted up, that lives might be changed, souls might be saved, and my Savior might be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Good morning again, friends, members, visitors. How many of y'all paid money to watch the fight last night? How many of y'all watched the Kentucky Derby yesterday? You know what? That's okay. Because in the grand scheme of things, neither one of those matter. Only that which you do for Christ is going to last. So I'm so glad to see you here today. I'm so glad to see everybody here. And I want to take this opportunity to let you know that you have a second chance to choose life. If you would, turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis. This will be our introductory verse, but today we'll be preaching from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. But by way of introduction, I want to take you to Genesis, take you to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, in the King James Bible, and it reads, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." According to Scripture, and this is another reason why I'm so absolutely adamant about the accuracy of the creation event in the Bible, because if the creation event in the Bible is not as the Bible says it is, there is no need for redemption. There is no need for the cross. If it didn't take place the way God said it took place in the book of Genesis, will you please, I repeat, there is no need of redemption. There's no need of salvation, and your faith is in vain. But here we see where God, he took a man, and he gave him a job, he gave him responsibility, and he gave him opportunity. And he said to the man, he said, you can do anything that you want to do, anything. And God said everything was good. He said you can do anything and everything here that you want to do. There's just one prohibition. There's just one thing that you cannot do, and that is not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He says, because on the day that you do that, you shall die. When you fast forward to the New Testament, it lets you know that Adam made a choice. And his choice led to death. He was given the directions clearly. He said, hey, here it is. Here's what you got. Here's where it's going to take you. And if you do this, you are going to die. And in Adam, according to Scripture, in Adam, when he made that choice, you want to know why everybody in here is going to die? And why everybody before us has died? Because in Adam, we made that choice. And that brought sin and death into the world. Now, we fast forward to the book of Romans. To the book of Romans, chapter 8. book of Romans, chapter 8. And our text today will be from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. And I want you to keep your Bibles open because we kind of work our way through these passages, and I want you to be able to stay with me. Book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 through 13, and the King James Bible reads, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today we're going to talk about a second chance to choose life. In Adam, we all died. And it's just a matter of time before somebody lays us out here and we'll just finish the whole process. Everybody died in Adam. But we've been working our way through the book of Romans, and we know from our studies already in the book of Romans that when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. You have been given the death no longer has a penalty for you. And as we mature in the faith, death and sin no longer have power over you. It has no authority over you. That's what we're talking about today. When we're talking about choosing, taking a second chance to choose life, that word life is zoe, Z-O-E. It's a Greek word, zoe, which means abundant life. Jesus, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "I came to give you life and give you life more abundantly." Okay, how's that working for you? Sometimes Christians are so sullen, sulken, sour, and sad. I don't blame the world for not wanting to come to church. If that's what it does for you, you keep it. I'm miserable just being a sinner, but at least I'm doing it my way. A second chance to choose Zoe. You and I, no matter what your station is right now in life, you have the ability to choose to live an abundant, God-blessed, enjoyable life. You have the ability to wake up in the morning and look at the sunshine and say, "Thank you." Just thank you. You got the ability to wake up in the morning and look around. You're in the same old house you've been in for who knows how many years. And you look at it and you look at it. Oh, boy, I got a nice house. God done blessed me with a nice place. Because when you choose life, it changes the way you look at things. You aren't going to be you aren't going to be supernaturally transported up out of these pews, and when you're walking down the street, you're up here and everybody else is walking here. No, you're going to be right down here with everybody else. But your mind changes, and you have the ability to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. But you have to make a choice, saints. We, at some point in our time, that's what discipleship is. One of the biggest problems in the church today is discipleship. People come to church, they get saved, they believe on the name of Jesus Christ, and they genuinely get saved. Well, now that you get saved, it's time to start walking. It's time to start doing something for the Lord. I dare say there's nobody here who got hired on a job and you walked in to the job and your boss said, okay, I want you over here. I want you on this machine. I want you over at this desk. And you looked at your boss, you said, I'll get to it when I feel like it. What? But that's what we do, Jesus. He says, you're saved unto good works which are already ordained for you. That is when I get to it, Lord. Right now, I'm not in the mood to be pushed and drug into serving in the church, because that's just a whole lot of, you know, Lord, you got to understand, I got this problem. And Lord will say, what's that problem? See, since we got syndromes for everything, you know, ain't nobody guilty of anything. You know, they got a syndrome for everything you got. Why don't y'all just explain to the Lord, Lord, you got to understand, I need to go for counseling because I got committophobia. It's a problem where I'm just not able to commit to serving you, especially if something come up in my worldly schedule. I'm sorry, Lord, you know, I got money to make, I got games to go to, I got, Lord knows there was a big fight last night, and there was a Kentucky Derby last night, and Lord, you know, and I know that the people had to pay through the nose to get to see it, but hey, it's the fight, let's get our priorities right, okay? God says, freely I give to you. I just want you to come and receive it. I want to give you an opportunity to choose life. I want to give you an opportunity to get rid of some of that sulking, get rid of some of that sadness, get rid of some of that sorrow, and cast your cares upon the Lord. But until you come, until you get discipled, until you're willing to be discipled, until you're willing to sit still and be taught the word of God, you're just going to continuously, you go through the same old, it's like a hamster on a wheel. You just go through this cycle of, I'm up, I'm down, I'm up, I'm down, I'm up, I'm down. What day, at what point in time do you ever plan to be on the other side of through? Instead of, I'm going through it, Pastor. I'm going through it, Pastor. I want you to get to the other side of through. There is another side of through, y'all. And it's called Zoe, life. And it's called life abundantly. Abundantly, exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think. It's there for you because Jesus died and you said, I believe that. Chapter 8, verse 1. Let's talk about putting some distance between the old man and the new man. This part of the book of Romans is talking to saved folks. It's talking to people who say, I believe on Jesus. I have already made a commitment to Jesus. That's who this is talking to. He goes, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. When he says, therefore, there is no more condemnation, that means the judgment has been settled. Jesus, you were guilty. I was guilty. Jesus paid it all. And so therefore, for those who will walk, and you're going to see this phrase, walk after, you're going to see it pertaining to the flesh, you're going to see it pertaining to the spirit, walk after. When it says, who walk not after the flesh, when the Bible talks about walking after something, he's talking about making progress. You know, making progress, chasing down that something.
whenever you get on a job, any secular job, the first thing people start thinking is, man, I want a promotion. And you go into action to try to find out, okay, what do I need to do to get to the next level? Because I don't want to stay here. I want to walk after. I want to seek that promotion. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. But why don't we take that same mindset into the house of the Lord? Lord, I'm here. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. Jesus has paid the price for you and for me. You have eternal life. That's settled. And you can't lose that eternal life. That's settled. So now I should be saying to the one who gave me the free gift, the free gift of eternal life, I should be saying, what now, Lord? What do you want me to do now, Lord? He says, don't walk after the flesh. The flesh is that old man. When he talks about the flesh in throughout most of this book of Romans, when he's talking about the flesh, he's talking about our old nature. Now, it's kind of hard to describe, but I'm just going to tell you this. When the Bible talks about mortifying and putting away the old man, he's talking about the actions of the old man, because until we actually leave from here and go to glory, we still have to deal with that old nature. Now, that old nature has been defeated. He said, you have been made free. It's like sitting in jail and people are abusing you in the jail. The jailer is beat you every day. They tell you when to get up, when to go eat, when to come sit down, when to go to the bathroom, when to get up. They tell you everything, but the door is open. The door is open. The door is open, and not only is the door open, you have a pardon from the governor. And you got it right in your hand. The jailer is subject to the governor. And you're sitting there, and you're getting abused by this world, and you've got What sorrows on top of sorrows on top of sorrows? And the door is open, and you have a pardon from the governor. You can walk out. You can choose to get out of the mess that you're in. And what the Apostle Paul teaches us when he was in prison, when he was physically in prison, Paul said, if you're temporarily in a situation where you can't change your circumstance immediately, and I understand that. There's some folks who are in some situations. This world is tricky, y'all. This world is tricky. He says, if you find yourself in a situation where you can't change your situation immediately, then you're free to change your mind how you look at your situation. Because the door is open. And you have a pardon from the governor. You can choose life. He says, there's no condemnation for those who choose, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Now, some preachers have conskewed this thing. I've heard them say, they'll say, for therefore there is no now no condemnation. But they leave off the back part of the scripture, which is, if you don't walk after the Spirit, if you choose to walk after the Spirit, the effects of death will be back in your life. You can't, it's not a salvation issue. You cannot lose your salvation. That's been settled. That issue has been settled. But can you have a raggedy life? Let me get an amen for a raggedy life. You can do that. So don't let anybody tell you that you can't jack your life up. You can jack it up. You can make some choices and some decisions that would just bring ruination into your life. And you'll be sitting there yourself saying, what was I thinking? But in spite of that, God says, when you find yourself in that situation, go look up underneath that pillow in your jail cell. Pull out your get out of free jail. Get out of free. Get out of jail free. You have it, y'all. You have it. Jesus has set us free. we have the ability to put some distance between our old man and our new man, and we do that by the deeds that we do. It's the things that we do that allow us to put some distance between the old man and the new man. Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Look at how much God loves you. God looked at your situation and he says, you know what? He says, you know what? Because of Adam, in Adam, everybody in here, in Adam, we all sinned. We were born with a sin nature. We ended up in a sinful, fallen world. And God looked at, look at what God thinks of you. For what the law could not do in that it was weak. The Bible says that he sent us the Ten Commandments. And when he sent us the Ten Commandments could only convict you of what was wrong. So when people are trying to keep the Ten Commandments, they're getting it all wrong. You can't. You were never designed to. But what you do is you look at the Ten Commandments and it convicts you of how no good, low down, dirty we are and how much we need a Savior. We need a Savior. And when God sent his son, he said, I already knew you needed a Savior. Even before you and I came to the understanding that I need a Savior, while we were still lost in our sins, while we were still enemies of God, he sent his only begotten son that we might be given the gift of Zoe, life, and life more abundantly. That's called good news. He says, he condemned sin in the flesh He became sin for us, but he was sent in the likeness of human flesh, but he had a heavenly father. So he didn't have a sin nature. Born of a virgin, it all ties together, y'all. It all ties together. And he condemned sin in the flesh. He says in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. After pursuing, making a progress, we need to be walking after the Spirit. The Bible teaches us that nobody is standing still. Nobody is stagnant. You are either actively pursuing the flesh and the things of the flesh that draw us and not only draw us, but drive us, or you are actively pursuing the things of the Spirit. That's what the Bible teaches us, y'all. Galatians 5:19 through 25. We won't read them all. But here, between 19 and verse 25, you're going to see where the Bible tells you what are the works of the flesh. That means the things that come about from walking after the flesh. And then it's also going to teach us the fruit of the Spirit, the things that come about when we yield our members to God. Now the works of the flesh, verse 19, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh, and I'm not going to go through all this. I'm going to do some selective ones just so you'll get a highlight, because we spoke earlier about sin in our series here. We spoke about sin being an abstract. Sin is bad thoughts, bad words, bad deeds, anything. In fact, some of the stuff that we're going to do in our life, I dare say we ain't even thought of them yet. As humans, we have the capability of getting so low, we can't even think of how low we can get. And I'm here to tell you, saints, make somebody mad. Make somebody real mad at you and see just how far a human can sink to get back at you. But even with all that, if that person, no matter how low they may happen to be, no matter how far they may happen to get away from God, if at any point in time, if they'll say, Lord, not my way, but your way. Homosexuality, y'all, it's a tough one. But don't you know, if anybody who's struggling with that particular sin, if at any time, if they would say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. God will save them. Did you know that? God will save them. Well, what about Sodom and Gomorrah, Pastor? God destroyed that whole city because they were all homosexuals. No. He destroyed that city because they wouldn't turn from homosexuality. God said, I don't care what you are. I don't care where you're at. If you will just turn, if you will just humble yourself under the mighty hand, I'll save you. I'll save you. If you will just choose life, I will save you. Now we got to get the people in the church to believe that. I don't know how in the world I'm going to convince the people outside the church, and I can't get half the people in the church to believe what thus saith the Lord. You're with me on at least 75% of the issues. On a good day, 85%. But Lord knows, if I say, but it is written. Yeah, but I'm not sure, Pastor. Oh, but you're sure about that salvation part about you? You going to heaven and everything? You're sure about that? Wasn't that written about the same time? Wasn't that written about the same Holy Ghost? Oh, I'm certain about that, Pastor. But I don't know about these other issues. I don't know about abortion. I just, you know, there's certain circumstances. There's just certain situations, that, Pastor, that go beyond my, don't, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he'll tell you what to do. And if you've messed up, and we've all messed up on something, if you've messed up, would you just stop right where you're at and say, Lord, I'm sorry. That's what I love so much about telling people about Jesus. Because he says no matter how far down you've gone, no matter how far away from him you got, no matter what, he says, if you just stop and call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. And once he saves you, it's a choice to be discipled. It's a choice to start walking after the Spirit and not walking, not making progress after the flesh. The problem with so many people in the church, I didn't even reach all this stuff yet. I digress. Works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. That means they're made visible. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies. Go down to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Not exhaustive, y'all. Not exhaustive. Because like I said, sin is kind of an abstract. But he's saying, in order to serve Satan, you got to work. Works of the flesh. You got to work. You got to work. He said, when you're serving God, it's like a tree. When I walk through an apple orchard, I don't hear the trees going, oh, I got to bear some fruit today. I got to bear some fruit today. Oh, there's an apple. No. The peaches don't say, oh, today I got to think. I think I got to, if I think positive, I can get some fruit. I could. Ooh, there's a peach. No. Apple trees bear apples because that's what they do. Peach trees bear peaches because that's what they do. Christians ought to bear love, peace, meekness, kindness because that's what we do. And please, on that issue of love, that word love has been tossed around. Everybody has come up with their own definition of love. They've made wonderful songs about love. Actually, most of them about lust, but we'll just let that go for now. Okay? When you want to know what love is, go to the Bible. See what God says about love. I had a young man who I was talking to the other day. He was a salesperson. He just happened to stop by the church, and we were talking, and he said, I'm struggling with this whole issue of the homosexual marriage thing. That's absolutely legit. Y'all. And he said he's a Christian. And I don't doubt it. It's a legitimate question. It's a legitimate struggle. Because you see people involved in it. And you say, who would choose to be like that? The Bible says they did. And so what I said to him was, do you realize that the average active homosexual male, and y'all can Google this, he lives to be about 44 years old. Because what they do is so vile and so disruptive to their bodies, this is the plight that they end up in. And I said to this young man, are you going to tell me that if you know somebody who's caught up in that situation, you won't try to change their mind? And you say you love them? Don't you know that people have outlawed cigarettes because they say cigarettes might kill you? Don't you know that people won't let you drink too much because it might kill you? Don't you know that every medicine container that you pick up says don't take too much of this because it'll kill you? So how many of you, last time your kid got sick, did you just hand him a bottle of Tylenol and say, here, have at it. Just take all you want. So why in the world would we as a church stand idly by while men and women fall off into a life that's going to kill them and say, I'm just so confused. Why don't you see what thus saith the Lord? And the Bible says, if you love them. The Bible says, if I love my children, I'll discipline my children. But we got parents today who's, I'm going to talk them out of being bad. Wait till they're 18 and slap you upside your head. God says, if you love them, you'll discipline them. And if you love that man or if you love that woman, you'll tell them what thus saith the Lord. And you'll say, Jesus died so that you ain't got to be like, you can choose life. You can choose life. You got to get out of jail free card and the door is open. Choose life. And the church has got to be right there to pick them up when their life falls apart. If you love them. If you love them. But don't sit back and watch them go off the edge of a cliff and talk about you. Well, you know, you people can't help who they love. Nonsense. If you love them, you'll tell them. And if you love the Lord, you'll keep his commands. Don't walk after the flesh. Walk after the Spirit. Pursue the things of the Spirit. Pursue the things of God. And when you pursue the things of God, the fruit that you bear, the Bible, I love this. The Bible says, the fruit that you bear from pursuing the Lord and pursuing the Spirit, there is no law against it. God said, come on, follow me. When you follow me, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded, I'm back in Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded, again, when you see that word death in this context, you're not going to face the second death. You're not going to be condemned. There is no judgment left for you. He's talking about a state of when you yield your members, whoever, we talked about it in chapter 7, whoever you yield your members to, whoever you yield your feet to, whoever you yield your mouth to, whoever you yield your, he goes, that's who you serve. And you're leading people to death when you're walking after the flesh. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. I just love this. I love this. God says, you don't want to be carnally minded. Carnally means fleshly, fleshly minded. You don't want to be so wrapped up and consumed with the things of the flesh, the things of this world. You don't want to do that because that leads you down a path that is not glorifying to God. He says, because we need to understand as Christians, the carnal mind cannot, the carnal mind will not. The carnal mind is at enmity. That means it is a sworn enemy of God. Just like the Palestinians say that Israel has got to be destroyed, they are sworn enemies of Israel. The flesh is the sworn enemy of the spirit. The carnal mind is the sworn enemy of the saint. He says, because it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8. And it reads, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Okay, he told you, he said that the carnal mind, the fleshy mind, cannot under any circumstances please God. And then here in Proverbs, he says, the sacrifice of the wicked. Here's your picture. It's Academy Awards. The carpet is out. And then you see some woman, and this is the first time you've seen her with clothes on. And she walks up to the microphone, and she says, I just want to praise God and thank the Lord for all of my success. And then up behind her walks this foul-mouthed, filth-spewing rapper talking crazy as all get out. I just want to thank God. Oh, and by the way, I got a check for $5,000 that I'm going to give to the Humane Society. Yeah, yeah. God said, it's wickedness. God said, I don't want it. God said, even the best that the wicked offer him is nasty in his sight. It's foul. It's disgusting. It's filthy. He said, don't bring that mess to me. Take your $5,000 check. Do whatever you want to do with it, but don't give it to me. But the saints of God, oh, but Pastor, look, he gave $1,000 to the humane. Oh, shut up, please. He's wicked. He's wicked. She's wicked. And the only thing I have for him or her is to say, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, I'm going to get you a get out of jail free card. You're going to be saved. God will take you just as you are. That actress, that rapper, that mechanic, whoever, whatever, that checkout lady at Kroger's, whatever, just as you are. But at some point, you got to come into agreement with God and say, I'm nasty. My stuff is raggedy. Lord, have mercy on me. And the Bible says, I got good news for you. I got good news for you. The Bible says, whosoever, red, yellow, black, white, male, female, confused male and female, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Man, that's good stuff. Don't hold that back from people. Let them know. Don't be sitting around. You see somebody, you know. I saw a joker at the grocery store yesterday. I said, this is Sugar Plum Fairy if I ever seen him. And I gave him a bookmark and invited him to church. Because I don't dislike anybody so much that I want to see him go to hell. Nobody. And I would hope to God that the people of Good Shepherd Baptist Church will take that same feeling, because there's some nasty people out here. But the book of Jude says you better grab them just like you catching them, right? It's like they got one foot in hell and the other on a banana peel. And he said, you grab them. You grab them and tell them about Jesus. By the way, did he say they're going to appreciate it? No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. He said, you just obey me. And you tell them, we are witnesses, y'all. We're not prosecuting attorneys. We don't have to convince anybody. But you know what? The way we practice, when we choose life, when we walk after the Spirit, that's always helpful when you try to tell somebody about the things of God. That's always helpful when they see some fruit. But right now, today, the preachers, Not all preachers. I'm not. Well, you know, I got to keep it real. I got to keep it real. I got to look like them. I don't want to look like that. See, when I go to the doctor, I don't want some joker coming out looking like Pee-wee Herman to work on me. When I call the police, I don't want somebody dressed in a Ronald McDonald thing come, oh, don't worry, I'm really with the police department. Yucca, 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 yucca. So why is it as Christians we try to disguise what we are? We get the tats, we get the piercings, we get the haircuts, we wear the clothes. You and I willfully make it difficult for people to figure out who's on which team. At some point, you got to become comfortable with being on God's team. And if you don't know how to dress, if you don't know how to speak, if you go to his word, he'll tell you. You don't have to be, you don't have to be in limbo. You don't have to be, oh, how should I do this? How should I conduct myself? If you're tatted from head to toe, stop. Stop. Because every time you put one on your body, you shed blood. God came to give you life. He shed his blood, so you ain't got to shed your blood. Just stop. It's not going to send you to hell. It's not going to send you to hell. Smoking cigarettes, not going to send you to hell. Getting drunk, not going to send you to hell. But it interferes with your witness. It interferes with when you're trying to show people that your fruit is being produced in your life. And when somebody mentions something to you about it, and they say, well, you got piercings all here, there, and the other. Yeah, I was crazy. Just admit it. God didn't put that hole in my head. I just thought I needed a few more. And then let them know, because the Bible says, such were some of you. Such were. We don't have to keep trying to pretend we're still on the old team. Let there be a visible, because in verse 13, he talks about the deeds of the flesh. That means there are works. There are things that people see. There are things that people hear. Those are the things that let people know where you're at. Stop trying to disguise that. Stop trying to bury that. Stop trying to blend in with the world. The Bible says that at the end of time, when the reapers come and they're going to be separating the wheat from the tare. Now, the church will be raptured out at that time, but there'll be, for conversation purposes, there will be those that are saved and unsaved. And I dare say that when the angels come, when the reapers come to separate the wheat from the tares, there's going to be some folks who've been trying to look like tares and they're really wheat. No, wait, don't leave me, don't leave me, don't leave me. No. I'm really a Christian. I'm a believer. Man, I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell. But right now we walk around so boldly and so proud of, man, I look so much like the world, you can't differentiate. We got to get away from that, church. We got to get away from that. We got to get to the point. I met a man when I was at Southern Bible Institute, and he was a Chinese man. And when I met him, I mean, it's just, I don't think I've ever met anybody personally. When I think about him, I'm like, man. And I've met some godly folks in my life. And this man, he almost glowed, y'all. I'm telling you. He had such a close walk with God. And when he started talking about, he was giving us his testimony. And he was talking about how he had determined years ago that he was going to deliver Bibles to China and he wasn't going to let nobody stop him. And you could get killed for delivering Bibles to China. And this man said, he put the Bibles in the back of a station wagon. You can't hide 15 boxes of Bibles in the back of a station wagon. And he put them in there. And he said, I prayed. He said, because I wanted these books to get to these people. And he said, and the border guards looked around. Look, got any Bibles in there? gone through. Don't you know if you serve God, he'll protect you? Don't you know that? Don't you know that if you choose life, don't you know God will, he will obligate himself to take care of you? Don't you know that? That's the good news. I want you to know God has obligated himself to take care of you. And when I met this brother, he was like 86 years old, and he said he had just made his last trip to China. He said, I'm too old to go back. He said, because last time I went, it was during the rainy season, so they couldn't get a car in. He said, so they had to take me to the villages in a wheelbarrow. I said, what? 80 plus years old, and you're in a wheelbarrow, and they're walking you from village to village? He said, because I made a decision to serve Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that means something to me. I want it to me. I want people to know I don't want anybody to be lost. I want folks to be saved. I want good shepherd folks to say, to look in the mirror and say, when you get up in the morning, Lord, use me to save somebody. I want to tell somebody about Jesus today, not tomorrow. And don't hold my tongue. Let me speak freely. Let me speak clearly so that they might know there's hope. They don't think they're getting a second chance. They know they were born in sin. They know they're shaped in iniquity. They know they're on their way to hell. They know it. Even the ones who say, I don't believe in God. How are you going to say you don't believe in something you don't even know nothing about? You know God, and you know that you are at enmity with God. We'll move ahead here. In verse 9, he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but you're in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I want you to look at this. In that verse, take a good look where he says, the spirit of God, and he speaks of the spirit of Christ. He speaks of them as synonymous. He's letting you know right there, Christ is deity. God, Christ is God. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of Christ. He goes, if any man, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you cannot have a second chance. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are on your way to a Christless eternity. You are on your way to hell. But the good news is that I stopped by today to tell you, you don't have to go. You don't have to go. You don't have to leave this room without Jesus Christ. You can confess it with your mouth. You can come to the Lord right here, right now. You just say, Lord, have your way with me. Have your way with me today. Admit you're a sinner. Say that I believe that he came, he died, he rose from the dead. The Bible says, bam, just like that. You shall be saved. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him, verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit and dwelleth in you. We said we got to put some distance between our old man and our new man. We're sitting here now, we're talking about how I used to be. I used to walk in the flesh. I used to be in the flesh. But now the Bible says, I belong at this stage of the game. I now belong to Christ. I belong to Christ. And he says in verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Do you see right here, saints? Here is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful promise from God. He said, I raised Jesus up from the dead. Everybody who's saved, if you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, you aren't saved. So everybody who's saved, say they believe that Jesus Christ died bodily, he was in the grave bodily, and he rose from the grave bodily. Now, here's what he says in verse 11. He says, based on that information, which is a statement of fact, he goes, I want you to know that that same power, that same resurrection power, that same Holy Ghost power that broke down from heaven, that rent the curtain from wide open, that opened up the holies of holy, that opened up the graves where people got up and were walking around, that same Holy Ghost power that rolled the stone away for Jesus Christ, he said, I'll do it for you. He said, according to this verse, you know, people always talk about, I'm going to be 6 feet under. According to this verse, if you're 12, if you're 13, if you're 50 feet under, that same Holy Ghost power is going to raise you up and set you free as a bird in the sky, because the Bible says this is the power that's available to those, only those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. You can choose to live a life of death here, even as a saved person. You can continue to choose and live a life of death, and you will live a miserable, miserable, God-denying life. And you don't have to, bro. You just don't have to. You just don't have to. God has made it clear in his word. You just don't have to. He says, Christ, verse 11, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall, that word shall, that means future tense, shall also quicken, that means revitalize, make alive your mortal body by his Spirit. That means he will re-energize everything about you. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Here's what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And it reads, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Old things. When you think of passed away, you might say to yourself, oh, old things die. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying all old things kind of get pushed off to the side. All the old things that used to be so important to you. Ask any of my kids. I'd get out on Saturday mornings, and I'd bow down at the temple of my motorcycle, and I'd wax it, and I'd clean it, and I got to see my face in it, and I polished it, and my cars. My wife thought I was crazy, because when we first started dating, we lived up in Ohio, and I said, well, we're going to go out on a date, but I got to go wash my car. It just happened to be about 5 degrees below zero. And I went to the car wash, and I washed it, and I polished it. And she said, man, this boy got some issues. This boy got some issues. But you know what? That's because I was walking after the flesh. I was consumed with things. And I was saved. I was saved. But I was consumed. I didn't have stuff. My stuff had me. Now that same dear sweet lady, she sits there and she said, Will, are you going to wash the car this month? It's still a priority, just not where it used to be. It's just not where it used to be. Old things have passed away. Everything is fresh. Why don't you try that with your spouse? Some of you men, some of you women, you know, you're looking at that joker and you say, See, now we got a newlywed couple out there. They still think, oh, he's so handsome. She's so pretty. Yeah, about 10 years from now, well, that gut of his is starting to poke out a little bit. Okay. Hey. But you know what? When you choose life, you're going to wake up in the morning, you'll say, boy, she's prettier than she was when she went to bed last night. When you wake up in the morning, that old house that you was in, it's going to look like, man, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. You won't be sitting around talking about, man, if I just had two more bedrooms and another bathroom, you say, Lord, woof, this is just right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. That old job that you've been complaining about and crying about, Lord, you gave me a job. Thank you. Thank you. All things are passed away. Everything is fresh. Everything is new. Everything. Everything. And most of all, my relationship with Jesus Christ. I used to take him for granted, y'all. Used to take him for granted. Because I was saved, sanctified, set apart. I didn't know what it was like to have pains that nobody else can feel and you got to call on the Lord. Didn't know that. I didn't know what it was like to be so broke that you couldn't even explain to people how broke you were. Nobody believed it. Nobody believe it. You didn't want to tell anybody how jacked up your life was. Because they say, oh, man, you made that up. But if you get a few years on you and life whoop you upside the head enough, you be saying, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that you saved me. Thank you that you set me free. Thank you that you allow me to choose life, dear Heavenly Father. I don't have to still be down there just sad, sulking, and beat down. I can have not a dime in my pocket, and every day is coming up roses. Because I got Jesus. I got Jesus. And I want that y'all, not only that you enjoy that, but that you tell somebody else. Please, saints of God, stop getting all you can and all you get. Tell somebody about Jesus and his goodness. To life. Verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And we know the rest of the story is that Adam was given life and he made the choice to choose death. And through Adam, we all chose death. But the good news is, in John 3:16, that for God so loved the world, you, me, and everybody else, that he gave his only begotten Son, that who should ever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Zoe. God said, I gave it to Adam, he squandered it. I've given it to you, you got a second chance. Won't you choose life? God bless you.